الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه ومن اتبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We are in our lessons in Surah Yusuf. الحمد لله. Surah Yusuf is a beautiful surah with the story of course, Yusuf, Yaqub, the brothers of Yusuf, Bani Israel. You know, the entrance into Egypt, the king of Egypt, the people in the prison, and the Aziz and his wife. Okay, and we're going through the story piece by piece, inshallah, picking out bith and barakah that come along with the story. Alhamdulillah, we put off the class a little later today because the Americans went back. I think, was it fall forward? And something happened with the change of time for the Americans, but that's only for today, inshallah ta'ala. Our class will be back on its regular time tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. So let's get started on our lesson, inshallah ta'ala. My glasses together. Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, we're not here. Okay, mashallah. So, okay, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال جعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض يتبوأ منها حيث يشاء نصيب برحمتنا من نشاء ولا نضيع أجر المحسنين ولا أجر الآخرة خير للذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. This is where we left off yesterday, where Yusuf says to the king, the king says, you know, Tamanna, take any job you want, whatever you want to do, what do you want to do? He says, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Put me and make me responsible over the treasures, the foodstuffs of the whole land. Inni hafidhun alim. I have knowledge about this. I know how to do it. I got the craft, you know, and we learned the barakah from that, is that you can promote yourself when you have a skill, especially when there's a talab. The here is like someone says, hey, send your resume. And hey, send your resume. If this is what you do, you don't have to be shy about your qualifications. You can do it, say you can do it. Okay, but the condition is it's not just for you to, you know, take. You really have to be able to give what you're saying you can do. Then he says, "Wakadhal Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, Wakadhalika ja'a, you know, makanna li Yusufa fil ardi, you know, we makannahu. You notice in the Arabic language the shadda, qatta'na, right? They cut themselves. Makanna, we made him firm. Not just makan, it's makan. Kennahu, made him firm in the land, established him unmovable. No one's position is solid. There's no worry about him. Okay. Yet tabawwa'u minha, traveling wherever he wanted to. Kayfa yasha, haythu yasha. Haythu is however, whenever. However is kayfa ma. Haythu yasha encompasses how and where and when he wants to go. He's able to do that, right? And we mentioned the fact that here is that he knew people from everywhere now. He's a real community person. He's an aristocrat. He can rock with the aristocrats, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he grew up an aristocrat. He grew up in the governor's home, the only person under the king out of all the wuzara, you know, the ministers. He grew up in that house. 10 years grew up with. They can't say he doesn't have the right education, doesn't know the right people, doesn't know the right adab. And the street people know him. He did 10 years on dhulm, or close to 10 years on dhulm, on oppression. They all can relate to him. And he knows everybody. He knows the baddest killers and the guys that were innocent because he was locked up with them, right? And he's made inroads with those people, and they are now his followers. So he can move around anywhere and however he wants to. A full community personality. And that's another way that Allah makkanahu fil ard, okay? Made him and put him and gave him that position in the land, moving around however he wants. Nusibu, hear the word, nusibu bi rahmatina man nasha'u. What does nusib mean? A musiba is a calamity. So when we say nusibu, you could say that this person is affected. Not that it's a calamity for him, but it teaches us that a musiba is not just a calamity. It's when you are affected with something positively or negatively. So Allah says, nusibu birahmatina. We cause to be affected with our rahma. And this is a real paradoxical way of thinking about, because when you hear it in your mouth, you say nusiba, and you're thinking about, hey, there's going to be a problem. But he says, birahmatina, because it's nusibu bi, usabu bi, the bad there. It have to be, what am I affected with? So the bi comes on the next word. It's not by itself. So nusibu bi, what? The mercy of Allah, whoever we want. We affect, boy, we, oh Allah, subna birahmatika. You know, we ask Allah, pour your mercy on us. We need it, okay? So, وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And here you see the beauty of the Arabic language. نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So both of those words are in a balaga. This is one of the things in the Arabic language in the Quran that is not really clear in English language. How just the words, the form of the words, and how they rhyme with each other, and how their meanings are so different. Nusibu implies a hardship initially, but then you realize that it's not someone is being affected. But then nudi'u is always something, allowing something to waste away. That's what yudi'u, right? Allah says, wala nudi'u, and we never allow something to waste. What's the something to waste? Ajr al-muhsineen. We never allow the reward, the payment, because it's ajr, not thawab. A thawab is a bonus, okay? And ajr is what Allah has promised will be your wages for doing good deeds. He says the one who, alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave us the hadith where Allah says, whoever intends to do a good deed and is prevented from doing or it doesn't do it, his reward, his payment, just for intending it, will be a good deed. If he does it, I'll give him tens. And we're talking about decimal points here. To the power of, you know, not just 10 times, 10 times, 10 times, 10 times. This is, you know, more and more and more. So you're getting so many rewards, you don't realize it just for doing it. And whoever intends to do an evil deed and doesn't do it, I give him the payment, the award of one good deed. And whoever intends to do an evil deed and he does it, he follows through with that, just one. I just pay him with once. One evil deed. So this is the ajr that Allah has promised will be your payment and my payment for doing. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And we will never allow the payment for the person who does excellence, who's striving to please Allah and oppress Allah, and no one but Allah, never allow his payment to go unpaid. Never allow it to be wasted. He will always get paid. Subhanallah. This is from the maqasid of the surah. This is from the objectives of the meanings of the surah. Because there's something we're talking about. We're talking about what happened, what it means, and what's the objective. These are three different things. Three different angles we're talking about. When you summarize the story, you're saying this happened and Yusuf was a young boy and his mother died when his brother Benjamin was born and he had all these brothers and you're telling a story. That's what happened. What does that mean? We were saying how the life of the prophet was so, had the vicissitudes, it went up and down. So what's the objective? Well, one of the objectives is to learn that the qadr of Allah is always in the charge. Allah is always in charge. Whatever is happening, it's part of Allah's plan. Okay? Even if it looks like shaitan or the enemies of Islam are having the upper hand, it's all part of Allah's plan. Number two, another objective is to recognize that whoever strives to please Allah, never will his reward be lost. Oh, that's encouraging, right? What an encouragement to do good. What an encouragement. What a feeling of safety in both those types of things. Because then we say, well, what's the objective with the objectives? To realize we should feel safe. The qadr of Allah is always going, no matter what it looks like, the qadr of Allah is what's going on. And Allah has promised us in the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah that He would never, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. He will never put us in a situation we cannot handle. So now I feel comfortable that no matter what's going on, it will never get to the state that I can't handle it. Allah has promised me that safety net. It will never be a situation that I can't not just handle it. Wasi'un, wus'aha. Wus'aha means wide. I have more than enough wiggle room. I have more than enough capabilities to do this, to handle this. So now I know all I have to do is think about, what does Allah want me to do here? What can I do here? So that's safety. And then, will I get the reward? Will I be appreciated for what I do in here? And that's a human thing too, right? Well, I want to know if I pick this piece of paper up on the floor, am I going to get a reward for that? Yes. Oh, I'm going to pick that piece of paper up. Even if it's at the nighttime, even if nobody sees me, I know Allah sees me. And I know I'm going to get paid for this. And Allah's messenger said, don't look down on any good deed. Don't look down or scoff at any good deed. You don't know the one that's going to take you over and get you the pleasure of Allah, the rida of Allah. And then Allah, in his extreme mercy and fadl, allow us to go to Jannah. So these are the objectives of some of the objectives. We're going to get to some more objectives as well. Let's keep going. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah will never allow the reward, the payment of those who do good to go to waste. وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Okay, now how do we do that? Allah is saying, and know this, that the reward without doubt, لَا وَلَا أَجْرٌ, and without doubt, the reward of the hereafter is going to be better than whatever you get in the dunya. So this tells us another fa'idah. By him saying that the reward of the hereafter is better, this means that we're going to get at least two rewards. We're going to get rewarded here in this dunya. But the reward in the hereafter is going to be better than the one we get here. If we amanu. And kanu, we were, yattaqun, applying what we say we believed in. What does that mean? How do you apply what you say believed in, Afi? A lot of people don't realize belief is all theoretical. What does that mean? It's all in the mind. It's all in the head. Okay? There's no action to it. I believe in Allah on the last day. Okay? That's my belief. Okay? Where's the madda? Where's the material of that belief? That's where taqwa comes in. My belief cannot be, palatable without showing what that belief caused me to do. And this is where we come to this book I wrote. It's called Applied Iman. Okay? And we call Applied Scientists. Yeah. Applied Iman is showing the shu'abul iman, the degrees of action tied to iman. So Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that iman is 70-odd levels. 70-odd levels, up a ladder. So what's the meaning? There's 70-odd actions tied to iman. If you have never done any of those 70, then your iman has not brought forth any fruit. There's no fruit. There's no product of this iman. It's just talk. And may that save you. May Allah allow that to save us. Just saying it. However, he says that a reward is better for those who believed and they had the taqwa. And kanu yattaqun. So the lowest level, the least sign of iman is that you pick up trash off the floor, that you remove objects that might harm people on the path, on the road, in the street, you know, and that you remove things out the way that's going to harm and possibly harm people. That's the lowest sign of Iman. You get my point? So this is, how do I determine, who's to determine what are the signs and what are the actions of Iman? Because now we have this generation of people affected with these small dajjalin, with these dajjal, who are telling you, well, it means this, I could mean that. Well, to me, it means that. No one cares what it means to you. You are not Allah. You don't own nothing. The Iman application is determined by Allah, the one you say you believe in. He is the one that determines what actions can be considered signs of Iman and what actions are seen to take you out of and to diminish your level of Iman. Allah does that. And this is why the word and understanding the word taqwa is so vital and important, because taqwa implies that you know the law. You know the ayah, you know the hadith, and you know the application of that. And you are at the same time, not just knowing it, doing it, applying it in your life. That is the combination of taqwa. It's not just knowledge, it's knowledge-based action. That's that combination. And the knowledge of what? The Quran and the Sunnah. And this is why I've been saying this for over 25 years. You cannot say that you have taqwa if you do not understand the Quran. And you cannot understand the Quran if you do not understand Arabic. Otherwise, you are just a muqallid. You are blindly following somebody. You don't know what you're talking about. Literally. And this is why we see from the past into the present, the people of the Sunnah have always promoted, learn the Arabic language, at least to the conversational level. That's what's on every layman in the world, except the people who have mental disorders. When they are forgiven, they can't do it. Everyone else can. Everyone else can. Okay, and this new mentality of Westerners, in particularly United Statesers, who believe that they cannot learn another language, this is just the result of Jim Crow, apartheid, and prior to that, slavery, and this type of thing, because there is no other group on the planet that is monolingual except for the Westerners in the United States. No one else. Even the Latino people that they make fun of and try to say that, oh, they don't speak English, they speak better two languages than the blacks and the whites in the United States, who are what they said, 80-something percent of them only speak one language. That's a huge population. But the only population in the world that's like that. So we have to break this dysfunctional, this generational dysfunction that makes it seem as though, you know, learning the Arabic language is such a hardship. That it takes 10 years, that it takes 15, 20 years, and it's still something that you don't understand. No, we're going to help you solve that. It's my life mission and the crew at Timbuktu to make sure that we kill that noise and make it easy for you to learn. Okay, back to this. And that the objective is not so we can just talk Arabic, but so that we can understand the Quran, the Sunnah, and apply it based on knowledge. So, the reward would be better for those who have taqwa and those who believe and have taqwa. And he says, now we go to a new scene. Now we're back where we left off yesterday. وَجَاءَ وِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ And the brothers of Yusuf entered upon him. So now let's paint the scene. The 7 years have gone by. So at least he's 37 or something like that. They've gone by, and now we're in somewhere in these new 7 years that there's hardship, that there's no food except for what they had stored up. And so people are coming from all over Misra, Egypt. And we don't know how wide and expansive Egypt was then. Because, you know, up until recent times, Egypt and Sudan was one country. Okay, a lot of people sometimes forget that. So when we say Egypt, you have to include all the way up to the borders of Ethiopia, okay? At very least, okay? So, you know, because what they have South Sudan nowadays, all that was Sudan, you know, even 10 years ago. So Egypt and Sudan were one country up until maybe, I think it's 50 years ago or something like that. I can't remember exact time. Maybe it's 100 years ago. The point is that the people are coming from all those areas. And they're coming into, you know, Memphis and Misra, the city capital. Now they're flooding into those areas. And refugees, they need food. You know, I don't know how many of you guys have traveled, but when I've been in countries where there's been wars, where there's been droughts, and when that happens, people flood to the capital cities looking for food, looking for handouts, looking for a place to stay and everything like that, because there are places that people have been burnt down or they just don't have anything. And the streets are filled with people who used to have, these are qualified people, people with skills, but they just don't have anything. And people have mercy on them. They respect that because it could be them, okay? So these people are coming and they don't have anything. And Yusuf has his ledger. He has his people who've done their research. Where are you from? They're logging in. Now, this is a lot of work here. They're logging in every person, where they're from, how much grain they deserve, how many people in their households. And then they're giving them, rationing out for them, the amount of grain that they deserve. And look at their word of mouth. It's based on your word. You could say you got 7, 8 children and stuff like that. How do they know? Well, he does know to some degree, because remember the people he was in jail with? They know all the people in their areas, and they can vouch for some of them, okay? In a, you know, we say, is that kebabi? Around, a little bit around that. So they're there as well. So his brothers are amongst the people that come up and present themselves to get some grain. And that's what we at right now. They entered upon him. He recognized them. But they, for him, they couldn't recognize him. He was munkar. Munkar means someone unrecognizable, like in a disguise. Okay? And why wouldn't it be? He's dressed like an Egyptian. He has the zay masriya, yani the dress and the hairstyle of an Egyptian aristocrat, the leader. Okay, he's the Aziz now, and they are still dressed in their Bani Israel garb and everything. Of course, he's going to recognize them right off the bat. They are the only Israelis at the point. Okay, at this point. So, hey, they come in, immediately recognizes his brothers by their clothes, by their looks and stuff like that, whereas they don't recognize him. It's been at least 37, 40 years, okay? It's been that long. He hasn't, well, I should say 27 to 30 years, because since he's 10, they haven't seen him. And he's either 40 or close to it or past it at this time. فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ وَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ قَالْ. Now, this is what he does, or what this line says. And when he was preparing for them, their جِهَازِهِمْ, their grains, their sacks of grain, corn, to send back with them, he says to them, قَالْ تُونِي بِأَخٍ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ. When you come back, bring your brother from your father that you guys told me about. So, I'm sorry, it doesn't say that you told me about it. But when we go to the tafsir, it says this. Look, when he saw it was his brothers, he had to take these guys and give them a good room. Take these guys and put them off to the side. Have them eat lunch with me. And then he's talking to them, just interacting with them, giving them a good time, giving them a meal, talking them up, getting them to relax. And they tell him, ew. We got brother, we have this, we have our father, we have these type of people back and forth like this. Okay, we're going to make sure you guys get taken care of. And he takes care of them all, right? And then he tells them, look, when you come back, you got to bring that brother you said from your father. Now, it teaches us something too. Min abikum. This lets us know that they told him that he's not from our mother. This is how, you know, that's too much business, right? You're talking, tell him so much stuff that it's not our same. We have different mothers, you know, from him. Come on, man. That's how they got down. That's how petty they were. So he's showing them. And this is what we're showing. Because otherwise, you say, this is our brother. Okay? But no, we got different mothers. This is one that's just... So he says, okay, bring us back your brother from your father that you guys told me about. Don't you see? Don't you see that I fulfilled the kale? And this is where we get the word kilo from. Okay? It's an Arabic word. Okay? Kilo or kale. I fulfilled the weight. Kale. Okay, وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ, and I'm the best one to come, you know, get off your saddle at. Munzilin is where you ride, you settle down someplace. I'm the best one to come visit. I host you well. I treated y'all nice. Okay, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَأْتُونِ بِهِ, but if you don't come back with him, that means you lied to me. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَأْتُونِ, if you don't come back and you bring me your brother, فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي وَلَا تَقْرَبُونِ, then you won't get no kale, no kilos from me, no weight, okay? You won't get no grain, and you won't even get to see me. You won't get close to me. Well, that taqrabuni. You know, what's the difference? People, well, why I got to get close to him? Well, when you have a problem, you want to speak to the manager, right? You want to speak to the boss. You got special circumstances. You want to speak to somebody that can do something besides just follow the orders. You want to speak to somebody that can make things happen. Can I speak to the boss? Well, there's a line over here. You go speak to the manager over there. And then wait. Well, you got to speak to the supervisor. You got to speak. And you wait and you wait. And then you go speak to that person. And that person is usually more gentle, more understanding. And they make things happen for you. But he says, nah, if you don't come back with him, not only you won't get any kilos, but you won't even get to talk to me. You won't even get close to me. You won't get to see me. And so, alhamdulillah, this is, we also learn this happens in the Quran, in other places in the Quran, where Allah says, Allah won't even look at them. They won't even get close to Allah or speak to them, yawm al-qiyamah. Why? Because Allah has made his mercy overwhelm his wrath. If we can just plead to Allah, Allah may have mercy upon us. But Allah tells some people, he won't even talk to them. He won't even look at them. They won't even get to say nothing to them. And he shows us this in the Quran when the people are in Jahannam and they ask, Ya Malik, yo, O Malik, you know, go ask our Lord, the angel in Jahannam. Go ask the Lord, talk to us. Angel don't even respond to them for thousands of years. Thousands of years. And then afterwards, he brings a message back, Innakum Malkithun, y'all staying. That's it, you're staying. So you can imagine the anxiety, thousands of years, and you're in the fire. And not, may Allah protect us from being in the fire. But can we imagine that, someone being in the fire, and man, 1,000 years waiting, maybe we're going to get a good response. Maybe Allah's donated the angel come and say, Innakum Makithun, you're staying. We don't get to talk. We don't get to say nothing. Then tell them that it's Abu Talib. Nah, you done. So we have to be especially worried about those types of things. Okay, those sins that cause that to happen. So here he says, you won't come close to me. And it becomes more realistic here. There's a more natural situation. We gave you stuff. We treated you well. You said you had a brother. Okay, bring that brother. Let's see him. But if you don't bring him, then know that you're not going to get nothing this next time. And you're not going to be treated well. And you're not even going to get to see me. So, Kalu, they responded to him saying, Sanura widu. Pay attention to the language. Remember, constantly the language is being repeated. Qalu sanura widu anhu aba wa inna lafa'iluna. He says, what is this word nura widu? This is what we said what do you call it? Hiya wadatni an nafsi. Right? Wouldn't we see that the wife of the Aziz Zulaykha, and we see that Yusuf says rawadat. This is to make someone else. He said, Rawadatni an nafsi. She tried to make me desire my lower self, right? And now the brothers are saying, Qalu sanurawidu anhu abahu. We will satisfy, we will make our father desire to give us our brother. Okay. We will. So again, the same word ruawidu is from the word rawada, right? Is to cause someone else, to convince someone else, to seduce someone else, to make it attractive to someone else to do what you want them to do. An something. So it's ruawidu an something. Okay, like ruawidu, that's me an nafsi. She wanted me to desire after my low, my base self. You know, راودته سنراوده عنه. So we're going to convince him to about his son, أبانا, أباه, his father, to let him go and come with us. And وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ, and we're the ones to do it. We know how to get that done. And this shows you, here's another faida here, is they think they can convince their father to do anything. They think they so slick. وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ, we know how to do that. You know, because how they went before and says, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَ مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا عَلَى يُوسُفَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. So, oh, our father, why don't you send Yusuf with us? When they said, قَالُوا, you know, this is showing that they planned that speech. That's another fa'idah and barakah from that ayah. When they went to him that night and said, oh, our father, why don't you send Yusuf with us? Remember, قَالُوا. They're all saying this. They're all playing their roles in this and everything like that and trying to convince him. This was part of their cave that they planned to do. And Nikalu is the what lets us know they said, you know. And we are so sincere for him. You know, we are so wholehearted for him. Here, they're following that up. It says, وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ, and we know how, without doubt, know how to get that done. We know how to talk to our father to get him to do anything. Okay, this is what they're saying. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And some of the ulama take this ayah to show that you see that even though Israel, Ya'qub Israel, knew that they were lying from day one. He knew they were lying when he saw the shirt wasn't even ripped up or bit. It just had blood on it, that they were lying. But he did not stop dealing with them. Okay, as we see in Western culture so much. You know, the parents stop dealing with the children stop dealing with the parents, the brothers and sisters ain't talking to each other, cousins ain't talking to the grandparents and all this type of stuff like that. You know, he didn't stop dealing with them, even though he know they did something to his son. He kept dealing with them as a father would deal with his children and trying to convince them. Sabrun Jameel, 30 something years. Sabrun Jameel, trying to convince them to be honest. Okay. And still dealing with them, right? So, alhamdulillah, and this is proof because they still think they have a way with him. وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَتِهِ جَعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَا انْقَرِبُوا إِلَىٰ أَحْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So listen to this. He's saying, قَالَ لِفِتْيَتِهِ, he says to his young man, his runabout, his assistant, his personal assistant, Fitya, in which we see that businessmen and people in high positions always have a young man, a young lady, some protege of theirs that's doing their running around for them, their personal assistant to get things done for them, okay? So he says, Fityati, he go, اِجْعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ, put their wares, whatever they brought to trade with, whatever they were selling, put it back into their rihalihim. A rihal is, and this is another thing right here. His mother's name is Rahil. Rihal is the same root word. Irtahilu. Waddi habibaka inna rakaba murtahilu. Fahal tutiku wada'in ayyuhar rajulu. It says, say waddi, bid farewell to your loved one. You know, inna rakaba murtahilu, the ride is about to roll out. Irtahilu. And this is the life of the Bedouin, al murtahila, to move from one place to another. It's called Rahil. And that's his mother's name. Okay? So, Rihal are the animals and the pack, the carriages that you pack your stuff on when you're making this Rihla. Okay? And this is where we get the word admiral from. Amiru Rihal, okay? Amiru Rihal becomes admiral. English is one of those weird languages where they chop up the words like that, you know, butcher the words, but that's the word, Amiru Rihal. So he says Rihal, his mother's name is Rahil, okay? So he's put their wares back in their Rihalihim. Why and how? La'allahum, so he says, لِعِلَّ, for the purpose that they would يَعْرِفُونَهَا, only recognize it, إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ, once they had returned back to their families. So here we say, la'allahum, for the reason that they would only find it when they got back. So put it in a way where they won't figure it out till they get back. Put it in the middle, in there, in the deep in there. Put it in a way they won't find it. So this is another fact that we find here, you know. Why? La'allahum yarji'un, so that they would be able to come back. They would be so, oh, we got our stuff back. We can go sell this stuff again, right? Or maybe they say, well, maybe we got something. Maybe let's take it back just so we can tell them, look, we didn't know. Maybe you guys forgot. Or what's the deal? There's a reason for them to return now, okay? And they got more money. They didn't lose nothing. There's a reason for them to return. Alhamdulillah. Now, فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ قَالُوا, so then when they returned to their father, now they got back all the way to their place. They go back to their place. They go, رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ. And here's another issue here. When you listen to the racist white people in the United States, or basically in Western Europe, you have to realize these people, for the most part, are racist, and that their science, their religious, everything is based on their racist thing. They always try to tell and say that Yusuf and Bani Israel were in the Arabian Peninsula, or they were in Babylon someplace. They were not in Africa. How in the hell can you say that Yusuf and his father were in some other place when this story took place in Egypt for the people of Egypt? Okay, you get my point? This story is about the people of Egypt. And Egypt at the time encompassed it, this whole place that we call Egypt and Sudan, period. Egypt has never been anything else besides those places. It never had other lands in the Arabian Peninsula or any place else. But in their presentation, they always want to show white people or people coming from someplace outside of Egypt. And this is racism. This is an intentional ploy for religious racism. And we have to pay attention to this thing. Does it make us, and they make it seem like, oh, you called us out, you're racist, you're bad. No, well, you can kick the middle finger, you know, all those racist people. We're not going to play that game. You know, the truth is the truth. We have to call it what it was and what it is, and we have to adjust our mentality. Okay? Again, the story is about Egypt and the people in Egypt. And what happened in Egypt. And the people who came to get the grain were from Egypt, not any place else. So when they returned back to their places in the desert where they were living, Qalu, they said to their father, Ya Abana, the same thing they said before, right? So that they said, وَإِنَّ لَفَاعِلُونَ. They said, Ya Abana, مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّ عَلَىٰ يُوسُفُ. Now they say the same thing. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا, oh, our father. So they know it is, you know, مُنِعَ لَنَا مِنَّا كَيْلٍ. So again, the same thing again. They know their role, how they are going to speak. They're all saying, مُنِعَ مِنَّا الْكَيْلٍ. We're going to be prevented from any type of kale, any type of kilos. فَأَرْسُ, so, in order to prevent that, أرسل معنا أخانا نقتل وإنا له لحافظون. Send our brother with us the next time we have to go. Okay? معنا أخانا. Send him with us. نقتل. نقتل is taking the word افتعلا. The word is kale. So nam, the noon in front is we, and اكتعلا is from the word افتعلا, meaning we will seek to get kale. We will seek to get some kale, some weight from this, okay? We will definitely protect him. They know that father has a problem with it. They know off the bat. They say, "Wa inna lahu lahafidun." This is a proof that they know that he doesn't trust them. Okay? Why else would they say, "Well, we're going to protect him"? Because they know he doesn't trust them with him. They realize, and so this shows us also that the hasad was on the children of Rahil, both Yusuf and her son, what do you call it, Benjamin, because he's keeping Benjamin from them and not letting Benjamin go with them. And they realize it, and proof is they say, we're going to preserve and protect him. And he says, wa qalu hal amantum bihi alayhi illa kama amantum ala akhihi min qabl. He said, are you guys going to be entrusted of over him? Just like illa, except just like illa kama amintukum ala akhihi min qabl. The way I, just like the way I entrusted you over his brother before, you guys really expect me to do that? This is what that says. Are you saying that you're going to amanukum? Your amanukum is this, you're protecting and trusting over him, over this one, is going to be anything different than the way I trusted you all over his brother before? Is that what you guys are telling me? فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حِفْظًا. So he responds, so, but Allah is a better one to protect him. I don't need you to do nothing. Allah protect him. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And he is the most merciful of all the merciful. And so this is how he responds to them. And it is a fitting response. He's not pretending like he doesn't know that they have done something wrong, but he's still dealing with them. You know, he's not, there's no elephant in the room. It's clear. How can I trust you with him except the way you're going to deal for you to trust him? I'm sorry. How can I trust you to keep him safe except that you would do to him the same thing you did to his brother? You know? So, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is what we have to offer for today. I hope the story is engaging for you. I hope you learned a lot of points from here. And not just to learn it and to have it as knowledge, but for order to practice it in your life. Remember, one of the benefits of this surah is that anyone who reads it, listens to it, memorizes it, will never be sad when they recite it and when they think about it. It has, Allah has given it the ability to make us pick up our mood. Okay, it's a depression relief. Okay, the story. So if you know someone who has depression, or is in depression, or is sad, read to them Surah Yusuf. Explain it to them. Go over through it. It'll change their mood. It'll change your mood. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's some questions, tafadhali udkhuli bi surah. I will take the questions at the time. Look at that, Bissara, baby. And don't tell me. Yeah, if that's for my good, okay? Hey, alhamdulillah. If there's any questions, tafaddalu, mashkuran. Sheikh, what was that poem that you quoted? That was nice. That's okay, alhamdulillah. The poem that I quoted was from the Mu'alliqat As-Sab'i. There are seven, actually there's 10 poems, but seven main ones, okay? So there's 10 poems that the Arabs had as part of their language and their how can I call it? Their educational rhymes, okay? That all the Arabs at the time knew about these 10, but there were seven that they agreed upon and the other three they disagreed upon. Meaning which one goes in the seven. So there's 10 of them, but the seven, they're called the seven mu'allaqat. And they said these were so good, they used to put them on the Kaaba. In reality, they actually never pinned them on the Kaaba. But they mean by that they were as sacred to them as the Kaaba was before the coming of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jahiliyyah. And these seven poems, one in one of them is part of the one I recited to you today. And these poems are the poems of the life and the different tribes that were in the whole life of the Arabs and their little histories before Islam. Okay. And this is even before Islam came, but how they came about into situations and their history and their famous things in their Jahiliyyah. So it's an amazing set of poetry. And this is a mu'alaqat. It begins like this, Waddi Hurayrata, but we changed it to say Waddi Habibaka. Okay. In Rakaba Murtahilu, Fahal Tutiku Wada in Ayyuhar Rajulu. And in Mauritania, and in the school too, in Timbuktu, you don't become an Arab. You're never to be considered an Arab, okay? Unless you have memorized at least one of the seven mu'allaqat, okay? That's what the rule is. And so when we were in Mauritania, that was part of our education. You had to memorize at least one. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It's best to memorize more than one, but at least memorize one, okay? Alhamdulillah. And if you want, I will help you with the one that that I suggest. Sheikh, you said a few times that there are 36 areas of knowledge or something like that. It must for every Muslim. Is there a way for us to have that list? I said there's 38 chapters of fiqh. Okay. Why change from Huraira to Habibaka? Okay, so I'll answer both these questions now first. First of all, the changing of the word Huraira was because he was talking about a particular woman. What di Huraraka? Okay, mean give say goodbye to the little kitty cat. He's talking about his girlfriend. Okay, because remember these were before Islam, and so we changed it to say what di Habibaka? Bid farewell to your loved one. That's more appropriate. Okay, so remember these are poems of Jahiliyyah. So some of the language in there is about Jahiliyyah. And so what do you call it? If you want to know about the 38 chapters of fiqh, then you could get my book. It's called Outlining Fiqh. You know, fiqh is, it goes, how can I say? It says, Butoba has plotted to sketch in your minds a drawing of fiqh in a graphic design, imagining deeply that our hearts would delight in through outlining fiqh that a spark would it light, our mindset, our manners, our conduct intact, the laws of behavior and how we should act. Fiqh is divided in four major parts. Ibadah is drawn from the fiqh of the hearts, business transactions with all of his deeds, then family provisions, including the means, meals, legal procedures, offenses of law, then under these titles make everything fall. Put under ibadah. So now there's four ways, right? We're drawing a graphic design of fiqh. Put under ibadah the worshiping laws and the actions that stand from the slave to his lord. Aqidah tahara, preceding salah. A janazah for all when the rich pay zakah. Siyam i'tikaf, you spending the night in a hajj for whoever can pay for the flight. At legal procedures, right? Capital risk in the fiqh of the slave as he trades to exist. The fiqh of finance is a loftier term for the money that we borrow and struggle to earn. You know, and then we go through that whole thing like that. And then the next one, you know, at family provisions, you know, then family laws and rights will shape the fiqh of slaves along with mates. This structure has three parts. Of course, there's marriage, provisional rights, divorce. Then at legal procedures, we'll report the fiqh of the slave as he deals with the court. You know, and then we write down those things. So in that poem, you learn all 38 chapters of fiqh. That's just the table of contents. And then we go through the poem and we wrote a poem about every one of those 38 explaining what it's about. In an outline, okay? So like we say, tahara takes a noble spot, take noble spot after aqidah, before salat. 11 cleansing points in order, all of them begin with water. The vessels that we use to clean, taking care of private needs, wudu, then wiping all the issues that undo, wudu, and so we're going through each one. And that's basic fiqh, that's basic outlining of the fiqh. All right. So if you don't know these things, then how are you saying you know your fiqh? How are you saying you know your deen? You know, tahara is the first chapter, right? Tahara is two types. There's tahara of the soul, tahara of the heart, meaning, right? Tahara al-qulub, and then tahara of the body. Tahara of the heart is aqidah, purifying that soul is what aqidah is. Tahara of the soul from shirk, okay? Then we have tahara of the body, which is what we're talking about here. You know, there's all that begins with water. The issues that we use to feed, taking care of private needs. Wudu, then wiping on the shoe. The issues that undo wudu. You know, there's miswak, and we keep going and keep going and keep going till we end up with Hayd ends this chapter for the slave. So I suggest anybody who wants to know their deen, get with us, man. We make it easy. We make it real easy to remember. We don't put it in English as much as we put it in English and Arabic. So we use Arabic Islamic terms, but we use English so that you can understand it. So there's, you don't have to wait to learn these things, to be fluent in Arabic language. But this is, again, something that we do in class throughout the year. Okay. Alhamdulillah. And let me see if there's any more questions. I hope I answered your questions. Yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hey, wa alaikum salam, Ms. Pearl. Barakallahu feekum. And I got a message from you, Ms. Pearl, the other day. I didn't get to answer it because it's Ramadan. And some of the stuff I don't get to do during the daytime. And then at nighttime, I don't get to look at it again. But I'll try to answer questions. Sometimes when people send me questions during Ramadan, I may not even get to see them until, after Ramadan. Okay? Because it's one of those things where you try not to be on your devices as much. You know, you're trying to do other things. And so I'm not ignoring anyone. I don't want anybody to think that I'm ignoring them or think little of them or anything like that. It's just the busyness of what's going on, okay, during the daytime and everything. Please be patient with me. If you want to get in touch with me, it is better for you to contact Miss Yasin or Colonel Saad, and they will, if this is an important matter, they will get in touch with me most quickly, okay? Jazakumullah khair. If there's no other questions, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, this is what we have to offer for today. Again, I hope you're enjoying this story. I hope it's motivating you. I hope it's making you happy. I hope you're learning from it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalam.